Hey everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello everyone, I am Brie.
And this is CSI Talk. Hey everyone, welcome back. Another week, another episode of CSI Talk. Hi, before we begin, let's take a moment and ground ourselves. And you are welcome here and stay as long as you like. We love you, okay? We will always love you, and you have a place here, okay? And, well, today we're going to be covering episode 6. Of CSI Vegas, Atomic City, I think, right?
Yes. Atomic City.
Yeah. Some things I understood because of your girl has been a very huge fan of the movie, the motion picture Oppenheimer, which stars our very own Lois Lambert from CSI Crime Scene Investigation, if you know, you know. If I had a nickel for all the times that Oppenheimer has been mentioned this week on the shows that I've been watching, I had 2 nickels. Which isn't too much,
but it's still something.
And it's weird that it happened twice. I mean, it just got name drops on X-Men 97. But anyways.
We just spend a lot of time on social media, so that's a common thing on right now, especially on TikTok.
Yeah. Well, we're still reeling from the sad news from last week that unfortunately, yes. Well, one of the ways out would be if season 4 would be only on the streaming service, which would be Paramount Plus. It cannot be picked up by any other streaming service or any other company because CBS holds the rights to.
So with the show 911, Fox owned the rights to it, but I think it was either ABC or NBC that bought the rights.
Yeah, so another company could buy the rights. Yeah, but it's a brand. Okay, so I mean, it could buy the rights to the show CSI Vegas, but the character of Catherine Willows originally appeared on CSI Crime Scene Investigation. So I don't know in which point, you know, legally could she be on CSI Vegas. I mean, the character could be in CSI Vegas, even though she is part of the brand Crime Scene Investigation. So we don't know legally how that would work. There is a petition going around to save CSI Vegas. I mean, we would very much love if the show was saved. And we would very much love if the show continued on season 4, but continue on a streaming platform like Paramount Plus. But the thing about the show being on a streaming platform, I think it has a lot of mistakes that it's got to fix. You know, like we said it last week, it has a lot of mistakes that it's got to fix. Like the Josh storyline, it could have been a lot darker than it is. Like we said last week, for a crime show, it tries really hard to stay lighthearted when it should embrace the darker themes. Maybe if it goes to a streaming platform, it could embrace those darker themes, right?
And we can actually hear them be actual adults and, you know, cuss once in a while.
When something doesn't go the way they want it, or when they cannot get a suspect, or when the evidence is it's looking so right toward the suspects, they could even, and then the suspect has an alibi, and then, you know, they come back to the lab and have to go through all the evidence again, and like one of them could even like shout a like an F word or something like that. I mean, it would be really nice if it got to a streaming platform, because I want to see where those characters are headed. I want to know how the story ends, especially because it might end on a cliffhanger. This is a finale. Might end on a cliffhanger. We don't know if Penny and Jack are gonna get married. if she's gonna wear a wedding dress, it will most likely end on a cliffhanger, and it'll be really nice. It would be a new thing for CSI, because it usually is, it's always on like on TV, but it could stay on the format of like one episode per week. It doesn't have to be like a 10 episode release like Netflix.
Most Paramount Plus shows do 1 week.
Yeah. Like 1 week per one episode per week, and then one case per episode, or two cases per episode, or maybe like I have a serial killer.
And it won't be up against sports anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it won't be up against a lot of things. You know, I think March Madness really, March Madness, the football season, you know, it all goes up against the show.
Okay, for those of you outside of the U.S., March Madness is college basketball, and football is a totally different sport.
Yeah, and also, you wouldn't be against the Chicago shows or Law and Order, or, you know, all the Laws and Orders out there. And Grey's Anatomy as well. Grey's Anatomy is like on 21st season or something like that. So I think it would be really good. I think it would be a great change of pace, because probably they would have more time. Even if they only had like 10 episodes, we could stay on the 10 episode format, but we could have more time. And we will have more time to delve into the relationships between the characters, you know?
Yeah, because we wouldn't have commercials.
Yeah. I mean, instead of like a 40-minute episode, it could be like a 45-minute episode. And we could delve into the relationships between the characters. And then Catherine would probably get more screen time. She could have a bigger role on the lab, you know, just not being like a senior CSI. But like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, hopefully we could someday... Hopefully, Paramount Plus can put CSI Vegas on the road again, and just put it on this
road again.
Yeah,
it's born out on the road again.
Whatever. And just shut up. You know what? You know what? I'm like this guy because I am a huge nerd, and I found out that one of my favorite characters. It's very much alive on this week's episode of the show that I'm currently watching.
And a lot of times people just say one word to me and come up with a song. And, you know, those words together is a classic country song, On the Road Again.
This week's episode, it was the name of the episode. It was Atomic City. And it had to do with radiation. And the thing is, not a lot of people get radiation. When you are in high school, you do eventually learn what radiation is, what it does to the body. If you ever gotten X-rays, if you ever gotten X-rays, you know what radiation is, you know. Or anyways, so let's begin with our breakdown. In the previously on CSI Vegas, it's mostly about the relationship between Josh and Max and how they're still reeling from what Josh did with his mom and all that, and about the Robert Cuevas case that hasn't left Max's mind. The Robert Cuevas case is from the it was automation, and officially that case is closed, but Max is still keeping it open, and we don't know why. And also Penny was not on this week's episode, which is, you know, really bad for me because Penny is my favorite. So if CSI Vegas has a chance to go to a streaming platform, hopefully characters like Penny and Bo could have more screen time as well. I think there's a lot of things that have to be done to this iteration that it can work, and it was working, but they made a lot of mistakes along the way.
And also the fact that some reason why they're trying to do this is because of all the strikes that happened.
Yeah, I mean, we're not blaming the strikes, the strikes or whatsoever. The strikes no. needed to happen. Yes. And
that's why I told Kari that we won't try to get funds at all during the strikes.
Yeah, but the strikes needed to happen, and it did make the agreement that they reached, it did make the work situation a lot better for everyone involved. I mean, it could have been a lot better, but anyways, you're not gonna go into the situation now. You're not gonna go into the conversation now. But I think there were some mistakes made on the storyline, story-wise. That could have been better. Because I think the main difference between Crime Scene Investigation and CSI Vegas is that most of the storyline in Crime Scene Investigation happened inside the lab. And most of the storyline in CSI Vegas is split between the lab and the personal lives of the CSIs. And in season one, that was working because Chris and Sarah were back, and everyone wanted to see them interact because we've never seen them interact as a couple, as a healthy couple, like they are in a good place in their relationship. But then in season two, even though they started off strong, they didn't continue like that, and it was really split between. Not like between the personal lives and the lab, and Crimes and Investigation did focus a lot more on the life at the lab than the personal lives of the CSIs, and that's why it worked because you could watch any episode of Crime Scene Investigation and just follow the storyline. You could follow any storyline of Crime Scene Investigation and not having to worry about if Warwick had a gambling problem or not. You didn't need to know that to be able to follow the storyline. But if you were following the show, you would know why some cases were triggering for him. You would know why some cases with kids were triggering for Nick. You would know why cases with women who were victims of domestic abuse were particularly triggering for Sarah, you know?
In cases against those of marginalized groups, well, hard for Chris.
Yeah, but you didn't need it to know that if you were just a casual viewer to follow the storyline. That's why it worked. But in CSI Vegas, it just got convoluted. The whole storyline just got so convoluted that you couldn't just, follow the show unless you were following from before, unless you were just a faithful viewer. I mean, if it goes on to a streaming platform, we're gonna do an episode dissecting what they got right and what they got wrong in season three. But these are some of the mistakes that I think they made, and if it goes on to a streaming platform, those are the mistakes that they have to get it right if there's ever a season four. Okay, so we begin in a truck stop, and a sex worker leaving a truck. She sees a lock falling to the ground, and she's like trying to get the trucker's attention, and she grabs it, and it immediately burns her hands. Immediately burns her hands, and then the camera goes to a person dressed up in a mask and a raincoat. If you've seen Teen Wolf, you probably this reminds me of the Dread Doctors, which were in Teen Wolf they were like villains of season five, and they managed to stretch their lives by kidnapping supernatural creatures and doing horrible experiments with them, and they would only wear masks and heavy clothing, and I just looked at that person on that mask and the raincoat, and I'm like, that is a Dread Doctor if I've ever seen one. So we open up and we are in the lab, and Max was supposed to go home, but she is at the lab, and she was supposed to go home 4 hours earlier. And Allie goes in and she's like, oh, is everything okay? You were supposed to go home. And she's like, I need you to answer my email about the time card sign-offs. And Max is like, oh, I'll get to it when I can. And then Allie is like, well, we are supposed to give the Ocho, the robot back to the lab, to where it came from. And then Max is like, I'm in the middle of something. We don't know what it's what's what Max is working on. We've only found out. We will only know what she's working on by the end of the episode. That's like this is like two storylines happening, like the main, like the mystery of the episode, like the case of the week, and like what Max is working on. Max looks at the world, but and I love like the. You can say whatever you want about CSI Vegas, but it does have the greatest sequences. The camera just went into the robot's face, and then it went straight into a TV. And I found out what a show that was on the TV of the victim's house. It is an episode of The Twilight Zone. It is called The Lonely. It is an episode from 1959. The synopsis for this episode of The Twilight Zone is a convict living alone on an asteroid receives from the police a realistic woman robot. Okay. So we're in the sun watching The Twilight Zone, which is a TV show. The sun is not really watching the show. He's just going through what seems like his Twitter. The son starts to feel really ill, really, you know, sick. And he looks at his dad, and his dad's eyes, they're bleeding. They're literally bleeding. He tries to help his dad, and his dad is like, probably figures it out what is happening and tells his son to call 911. And he does eventually call 911, but he dies while calling 911. Well, anyways, I thought they were dying from air poisoning, but I should have realized from the name of the episode, Atomic City, that it would have been radiation poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
So Chavez, Ellie, and Josh, they arrive at the scene. Josh and Ellie are kind of matching on their wardrobe. Like, okay. Chavez tells what is happening. Like, father and son, they died in their home. And then when help arrives, when the EMT arrives, it started to feel sick as well. And then they called for help. The EMTs decided to wait for the police to arrive and for the coroner to arrive to get the bodies. But the thing is, the coroner cannot get in until the CSI clears the scenes. Chavez doesn't want to go in there because of the EMTs were feeling bad. I mean, God knows where it's in there. But Ellie convinces her to put on a suit and go. The suit is not against radiation. It's actually against airborne virus or bacteria. Ellie even has a device that is made to identify any virus on the air, such as anthrax. But it's not picking up anything. So Ellie's like, something has to be really dangerous to kill enough people. You know what? This reminds me that episode in which Sarah and Greg, they go to a scene and they find this guy, Ed, and they're like, there's blood everywhere. They think that the guy has been killed until Sarah realizes that actually what happened is that he was exposed to a virus. It happened during the DV era. So Folsom is like, I can't remember any type of airborne virus that would do that. There's a lot of virus that could do that, you know. But anyways, so Folsom takes one picture of one of the victims, and he sees that the picture, it looks grainy. He looks at his lenses. Like, the first thing he does is look at his lenses. And Ali's like, maybe there's something wrong with your camera. And Folsom's like, no, there's not. And what is happening is that his camera is reacting to the radiation that is still present on the scene. So according to Google, what is happening is radiation can cause physical damage to the camera's components, such as lens, sensors, and circuitry. Something like that. I can say, I don't know if I said it correctly. Radiation can also cause the camera to malfunction, resulting in poor image quality or even complete failure. Radiation can also cause the camera to overheat, which can lead to permanent damage. The radiation in that house reacted with Folsom's camera, and that is why the image was so bad, you know. And then Folsom is like, well, what is this? And he just brainstorms really quickly, and he's like, it's radiation. And then Chavez just looks at the walls, and he's like, guys, I think this dude was an expert on radiation. And Ellie's like, oh, do you think these suits are gonna protect us from radiation? And Josh is like, we don't have time to find out. Let's go. Let's get out of here. And now they're decontaminating. I must say they have evolved a lot from being scrubbed down. You know, because if it was in the old days in crime scene investigation, there would be someone scrubbing them down. Okay, remember when Greg says, Sarah, I didn't see anything, and Sarah says, oh, I saw everything, and then Grissom just looks like, what are you saying? Max is never at the scene when she sends her CSIs. She's like, go in, collect the evidence, and then come back to the lab. That's exactly what they were going to do. Then Max goes, and she's like, are you okay? And then the first thing that Folsom says, hey, where's Allie? And Max is like, she's still scrubbing. And she says that the longer the hair, the longer the exposure, the longer the decontamination.
Which makes sense.
Bo says that they did an extended range Geiger-Müller detect with the Geiger-Müller detector, which is very sensitive, inexpensive server instruments used to detect small amounts of radioactive contaminant. They did this test, and the radiation that they absorbed was safe for the 5 minutes that they were in there. If they had been there longer, they would have been at a hospital. So, in case you do not understand, you know, let me put this way. Our planet has radiation in everything. Every single thing that we touch has radiation. Even your phone. You know, did you ever had a chemistry teacher or a science teacher that ever told you do not put your phone in your pockets? Otherwise, you're not going to have children. That's why. Because your phone has radiation. And the radiation comes from the battery inside your phone. Everything we touch has radiation. And usually it's on a safe level for everyone. The thing is, machines like x-ray machines, when you go and do a MRI or stuff like that, or if you had ever had a loved one that had to do a cancer treatment, you know that those treatments, it has radiation. It is a very dangerous things that it can absolutely kill you. And that is exactly what killed those two victims. And they don't know what it is. The cause of death of the victims was complete organ failures. They both victims were completely exposed to the radiation inside the house, but they don't know where is the source. So Josh is like, okay, so what are we going to do? We cannot even go into the house. And Max is like, don't worry. I call the cavalry. You know, I've watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and every time someone says cavalry, I immediately reminded of May, because that was her code name. Anyways, Josh asks, he asked Max to work this case, you know, not just be in the lab. He asked to stay on the field. And Max is like, yeah, you got to go back in the saddle someday. And she's like, but you're going to be on the sidelines. They are going to take the control of this scene. Catherine, she is yelling at an officer that's named Mike. And she's like, you need to control this crowd. You cannot let anyone inside this house because it's radioactive. And then the wife of the victim comes in and she tries to get inside the house just to look at her son. And then she explains that she was away from 1 week at Palm Springs and that she actually helped her husband to get his job. He was a very important person at the nuclear committed, and he didn't come for money. And he made enemies because he supported the plan of the Yukon Mountain nuclear waste repository, because these, according to Wikipedia, the purpose of the Yukon Mountain project is to comply with the Nuclear Waste Policy Act of 1982 and develop a national site for spent nuclear fuel and high-level radioactive waste storage. This is in Vegas, by the way. Okay. Why was this proposed? Because Las Vegas, Nevada was the place for nuclear testing since 1951, and the last testing was in 1992. So this guy was the one that was all in to get all of this nuclear leftovers, if this is not the words, this is totally wrong, but and put it on this Yukon Mountains, because radiation element, it has a half-life. How do I explain that? Radiation has a half-life, as in
not a full life.
A half-life is the length of time it takes for half of the radioactive atoms of an specific radioactive nucleus to decay. So it would, let's say it's totally wrong what I'm saying. If you're a scientist and you're listening to this, you know it's wrong. But let's say there's a radioactive element that has a half-life of, I don't know, 100 years. So it will take 100 years to get to half of the atoms of this element. And then after that, it would take another 100. You know what? So it would just, it would take a lot of time for that. That's why this guy was all in for this project, because it meant that not a lot of people would be at risk. But then this woman has to be put on protective custody. And then the cavalry arrives, and Folsom is helping her, carrying a box. And he's like, "What is in this thing? Bricks?" And she's like, "Yeah, lead, almost lead bricks. If you ever had an X-ray taken of any bones that you might have broken,
conditions like scoliosis.
Yeah, I mean, or even to make sure you didn't break a bone, or if you have any conditions. Depending on which part of your body the you're getting the X-rays taken off, you have to put protection over your body. And that thing actually has bricks. It has lead bricks, because the lead protects you from radiation that comes off the machine. Because according to Google, when the radiation attempts to pass through lead, it's electrons, you know, the electrons of the lead absorb and scatter the energy of the radiation. And eventually,
why something like that happens, because depending on the element of that is radiated, lead might have a higher electron count, so it helps. That's why it does that.
Yeah, we're going full CSI here, okay? We're giving you all the science explanation on this week's episode. This week we're going full CSI. We're explaining you all of it. If you ever wondered why those things, like when you take an X-ray, why those things are so heavy, it's because of the lead, okay?
And that's also why you can't have your phone on you or watch on you. And if you have something like a heart monitor inside your chest, you have to let them know.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to tell them if you have a metal on you inside your body. And you have to take all the metal from your body, like from a bracelet or from a necklace, because it does break down, the machine. The machine does break down, because the radiation is too strong, so if the metal reacts with the radiation. She realizes that Folsom is a bit, you know, he's still grieving. She tells Folsom, "Oh, you remind me of my nephew. He loves his job." And Folsom's like, "Yeah, I love mine, you know."
And if you recognize her, because we rearranged some episodes a little bit, she was in a very early episode of CSI. She was also in Criminal Minds. And also, if you're a Gilmore Girls fan, that's Luke's sister.
Yeah. She tells Folsom that she didn't know the victim, the older man, the father But she did say that she've heard of him. She met him a couple times because the world of radioactive regulations is small. That's how she knew of him and all of that. And they get in, and she says, "My job here is to make your job easier." She tells them that they're gonna be wearing the suits, and they are gonna have to have this kind of like a controller with them to measure the radiation levels inside the house. But also, the thing is, she shut down all of the telephone towers around the neighborhood, and the neighborhood is going to be emptied. So that Max is on it with Chavez. They're going to be emptying the neighborhood of everyone. So and asks like, "What are we looking for?" You know, and the she's like, "Anything. It can be a metal scraps. It can be something from a nuclear facility. I've seen everything. It actually can be anything at all, because everywhere we look, there is a radioactive material, even inside your computer or inside your TV. There is a radioactive thing. You know, the battery inside your computer right now is radioactive." While they are preparing to go inside, Chavez asks Max, like, "Is everything okay? Are you okay?" And like, I love how Ellie, Josh, and Serena, they all like the meme, "Bestie, are you okay? Bestie, are you okay?" to Max all throughout this episode. Usually she would tell Josh, but she doesn't trust Josh. All right, so they go to the neighbor of the victim, and then we find out that this neighbor actually he has a bunker. He has an underground bunker, and he has to get the chicken out of there because of the radiation poisoning. And both Max and Serena are totally over this guy, and he agrees to leave his house. Back in the victim's house, Ellie, the radiation doctor, and Josh are looking for something, but every single reading that they get from inside the house is not a lethal. It's not a lethal reading. It's just 5.2 or 4.8, you know. But so they go back to the lab, and Josh puts the readings on the computer to try and see where is the source coming from. Chris didn't go to the scene until at the very end of the episode. And then Ellie's like, "Amazing how you found enough lab work to not go to the scene." And Chris is like, "I had so much to do here." Ellie talks to Josh about how she thinks there's something off with Max. And she says that usually Max would talk to Josh about it. And Josh is like, "Oh, yeah, but ever since that thing happened with my mom, she's not telling me anything." And then he inputs all the data that they found on the map that they have of the house, of the crime scene. And then it really lights up like a Christmas tree. Josh and Ellie, they think that the radiation is inside the walls, and they come to the conclusion that it might be gray water. Gray water is actually water in the wastewater, and it's water in households without contamination. In this case, it was completely contaminated. It was completely contaminated, but the place that it was a lot more contaminated was the bathroom. So the radiation doctor and Catherine come back to the scene. We're waiting, they find something, and something that is glowing inside the bathroom. What is that glow? She says that is Cherenkov radiation. According to Google, Cherenkov radiation is a form of energy that we can perceive as a blue glow emitted when the electrically charged particles that compose atoms, like electrons and protons, are moving at a speed faster than that of light in a specific medium. That medium was obviously the wastewater. So the radiation doctor grabs it. And what is that thing was a uranium pellet. If you don't know what a uranium pellet is, Iranian palette is a very thin ceramic cylinder that has uranium. Uranium is a very thin powder and is a nuclear powder that it can generate energy. Then, but actually, the radiation doctor says that the only way that the killer would get their hands on a uranium pellet is from a nuclear fuel rod. Catherine finds a picture of the nuclear committee that the victim was part of. So everyone in that picture was probably on the hit list. I mean, it would have been amazing if this episode was like a serial killer episode, but it was not. So
death was basically accidental.
Yeah, it was an accidental death. Josh, actually, he is really studying radiation to try and understand what is happening. And they do an experiment on the parking lot, you know, to find out what is the that they have in hand. And according to the doctor, the what they have in hand is the isotope, the specific isotope. So you don't know if you can remember what isotope is. It's isotopes are, according to Wikipedia, isotopes are distinct nuclear species of the same chemical elements. They have the same atomic number and position in the periodic table, but differ in nucleon numbers due to different numbers of Well, anyways, they have different nuclei. They have different nuclei. They have different numbers.
And nuclei is basically inside the center of the atom.
Yeah. Probably the way that I speak about Oppenheimer, the movie starting, our very own CSIs on them, you know, Louisa Lambert, you've probably seen it, you know. There's a part of the movie that he actually explained that. But anyways, so the specific isotope, according to the radiation doctor, is uranium-235. She has a name, by the way. I just call her Dr. Radiation or Radiation Doctor. Is uranium-235. And the decay rate, when she says decay rate, is almost the same thing as half-life. But she's talking about the half-life, but the decay rate is about 10 years old. So she says that is probably from a North American light water reactor. There is uranium all over the globe, okay? So anyways.
And for those who are wondering, because, you know, we try to say names on this show. Her name is Angela Hope. The actress's name is Anne Ramsey.
So Max is trying to talk to the widow of the victim, you know, talking to her, like, about, like, her husband and then, like, her family and all that. And she's saying that my husband did get death threats a lot for his support of, like, how to safely treat nuclear waste. But back in the lab, Allie and Chris, they're trying to, with Chavez, but Chavez is working from PD, they're trying to find from which facilities the uranium pellet was stolen from, but they are getting a lot of red tape because these things are under very tight security. That's true. Those things are under very tight security because it's radioactive material. So they cannot get to a facility and be like, oh, have you had any break-ins lately? Ellie asks Chris, like, have you noticed anything wrong with Max? And Chris is like, oh, do you think she was hit by the radiation? Dude, she was never even inside the house.
He did not know that.
Yeah, I know, but still. He wouldn't know if he had done his job and went to the scene. So they have to go back to the scene to look for more evidence. Why are they doing this? Because they don't have enough evidence to work with in the to begin with. Okay, that's why they have to go back, stay half hour, then get out, and then go back again. Okay. When they go in, Bo finds sand on the scene, and he's like, "Oh, did we track it? Like, did we bring it in?" No, they didn't. So how did this happen? Because sand was not inside the scene when Josh and Ellie walked in for the first time. It was not inside the scene when Bo and Catherine walked in the first time and Josh and Ellie walked in for the second time. And it was not in when Bo and Catherine walked in for the second time. So that's weird. No, it's getting weird. Mm-hmm. So, and also, wearing protection on their shoes to not contaminate the scene.
Yeah, it's part of the suits.
Yeah, I know the boots are part of the suits, but couldn't, like, they put, like, that
shoe stuff that blew.
Yeah, the shoe stuff on top of the shoes, because like everything's protective except for the shoes, because then they wouldn't track anything from outside of the scene into the scene. Now, anyways, Catherine finds corrosion caused by some sort of acid on the door handle to the backyard, but they don't know what it is, so they collect the sample. Allie and Josh go into the scene, and they leave the house. Josh and Allie, they are looking for more evidence, and then Angela, or as I like to call her, the radiation doctor, comes in, and her phone gets an email. You know what? She would have probably walked out of this case if she hadn't told Josh and Allie that she got an email when she did, right? Well, she said that that the FBI, and it's saying like everyone is looking for a stolen uranium pallet, but they cannot find it. So she tells everyone like she has to go, and she named she gave Josh a nickname, Jay. That's not a good nickname.
Boy, one of my nicknames is B, for my sister.
Oh, I know, but like that's different. That's your sister, and I thought it was Grissom. But anyways, so I was like, oh, you two became really fast friends, right, Jay? They're really trying to find anything left for the killer, but they cannot find anything. Back in the lab, without all the uranium inside the pallet, they are trying to look for anything probably left by the killer inside the pallet, the actual, you know, component. And they think that is rust that has broken the pallet, that it has distributed the uranium on the house. And they think it's rush, it's rust, but it's not. That substance that Bo and Catherine found was acid. It was muriatic acid. It's strengthened by alum. According to Bo, alum is overkill because muriatic acid can eat through any metal. You know, that's probably how that sex worker burned her hands in the beginning of the episode. They think that's how the killer used to open the capsule containing uranium, but it was not. According to Max, what the killer used was actually leptoxic. It is a bacteria that eats through metal, and it takes a couple of days for that to happen. According to Bo, you can actually find that anywhere online. You just put it near the capsule and just wait a couple of days for the bacteria to do the job, and you give the killer some time to escape them. And Catherine's like, well, maybe it was the victim's wife, because she was in Palm Springs for a week. But then Bo was like, well, but you can actually find that bacteria, you know, for sale, and pretty much anything that you might need to do agriculture. And Max is like, well, I know somebody who fits that. It's the neighbor. The neighbor is actually brought in for questioning, and he is using sunscreen. And when Josh questions him about it, he says that is the, like, oh, radiation is off the scales in Las Vegas, more in Nevada. But the sunscreen does protect you from radiation, you know. That's why you put it in the summer. The radiation doctor, she is testing the radiation on the neighbor. And I love how Matt cuts him off. Like, I don't care about the apocalypse talk. You know, just tell me. I want to talk about your neighbor. And because they famously have a feud.
And this neighbor is played by an actor who is in The Big Bang Theory. Just imagine him with a heavy speech impediment.
Yeah, I knew him from somewhere.
You also know him from the first Santa Claus movie.
Yeah, so the radiation doctor, her nose is starting bleeding. And amazing how she already has, like, a napkin on her.
Okay, there's a lot of times I carry many different things with me.
She's like, I've been exposed, I'm dead, I'm gonna die. And they take her to a hospital, and the doctor says that her lymphocytes are low, and the radiation doctor is like, oh, I know why they're low, because I've been exposed to radiation. Well, it is a logical decision for her to say that because she works with radiation. But I mean, there's a lot of illnesses that can cause that, and also medication. Josh brings her suit with him, and he realizes that there is a tear, a really small tear on her suit. She probably did it after she left the scene, right? She wouldn't walk in with a tear on her suit. She says she wants to go home. She doesn't want to stay in the hospital to die. And Josh takes her home. And for a moment there, I thought that Josh saw his mom on this woman. Do you think he did?
I don't know. It's just, a connection finally, maybe.
Well, yeah, so everyone did a double testing. All of their tests came back normal. And Max is like, you're all gonna go back to the house. You're gonna check everything again. So she goes and talks to the doctor about something, and Serena notices that now. Josh takes the doctor back home, and she's like, I'm gonna make a batch of cookies and all that. And she's like, I don't wanna do anything now, and just, there's a lot of things I don't want to do. And you know what? I don't want to live with regret. I hope you're hearing me, because I'm rooting for you and Miss Rajan. So yeah, I mean, she's a killer. Yeah, she's out of line because she's a killer, but she's right. And the smile, like, he literally smiled when she said that. She literally just got there to help them with the case, and she noticed that they both are into each other, okay? Josh realizes that she has a cat, and he remembers of the neighbor that he was using sunscreens. He goes back to the scene where Allie and Chris is now in the scene, and he's like going through every tiny detail of the suit. And Bo and Catherine are inside the house hunting for sand and acid. Josh arrives at the scene, and Allie's like, what are you doing here? You're just gonna come in like 45 minutes. Josh is like, we need to see the neighbors because he could have been using sunscreen to hide radiation burns. And he's like, they didn't even get my call. And Ellie's like, no, the cell towers are still down. It's a dead zone. That's when Josh is like, they're still down? And Ellie's like, yeah, of course. And then Josh is like, whoa, what? Bo and Catherine are inside the house, and they cannot find any acid or sand inside the house, and the radiation levels are normal. Chris and Ellie, they actually find sand tracks outside of the house, going straight to the neighbor's house. And Allie's like, well, Josh really did say we should look into the neighbor's house. So they find more acid, and they go into the bunker of the neighbor. And then Josh tells Max she got an email as the radiation doctor. She got an email inside the house, but Max is like, well, she did say she knew him. But Josh is like, well, but she shut the cell phone tower down. How could she got an email if she said she barely knew the guy? She only got the email because the Wi-Fi was on still. So if the Wi-Fi was on, that's how she got the email. Ellie, Josh, and Chris, they all get to the same conclusion at the same time. The killer is the radiation doctor. She was actually trying to go to the neighbor's house because she wanted his gold. She killed the two victims, but according to her, it was an accident. The blood that they find in the napkin, and the blood that she faked it, the nosebleed, it was actually her cat's blood. And they, when Chris and Allie when Chris and Allie brings everything back to the lab, I love how Max literally shades Josh, because like Catherine's like, oh, how did that happen? Why did she do that? And and Max shades Josh. She's like, oh, you don't expect anyone to go Hans Gruber on you. Hans Gruber is actually from the Die Hard movies. He's a thief and a criminal mastermind. Come on now, Maz. Come on. Josh is not a criminal mastermind. I mean, he's a CSI for sure, and he did, you know, use his credentials, you know, but come on now. Josh is like, yeah, I know how she did it. She sealed the gold and she hid it in plain sight with the lead. And I helped her do it when I carried it. So now they are able to track down the gold because the gold was kind of now radioactive. Max sends Bo with a team of volunteers with dosimeters, which is a device that is used to detect radiation. The wife of the victim does says that she and her husband knew the doctor because... and then she went to their place every, like, at least once a month to have dinner. Josh tries to talk to Max about what is happening, and Max is about to tell him what is going on when Serena interrupts them and tells them that they found the doctor. And they arrest her, and then the doctor tells Josh, one day when you are my age, you will understand why I did it. And Josh is like, no, I will never. Like, good for you, King. In the end of the episode, Serena and Ellie decide to confront Max together. And what was going on with Max this episode was that she was still investigating the Robert Cuevas case. Do you all remember that camera? That camera with the film that both said, if there was any film here, there is not anymore. Well, actually, there was. There was just this sliver of a film. And Max developed. The thing is, she was quote-unquote crying because when she revealed the picture, the fumes got to her eyes. And she was talking to the doctors because the doctor prescribed her eye drops. And she reviews the picture and said that actually we need to talk to a platinum blonde person. And I think it's a woman. It's definitely a woman in the picture. So, yeah. Next week's episode, I'm thinking that they're going to revisit this Robert Cuevas case. Let me...
And the episode name is Quinky Dink. Man, what? I love that word. Yeah, it's Quinky Dink.
Quinky Dink. Okay.
That's how it's spelled and how it's pronounced. Quinky Dink.
Quinky Dink. Okay, so what is the...
It's a fun word. Just say it. Quinky Dink.
There is no plot yet announced. Yeah, but there's a lot of pictures of Catherine and Beau up on IMDb. Well, but anyways, thank you so much for listening to us. We love you.
Love y'all.
Bye.